WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. A local grocer is recognized as a finalist for a national award. Registrars across Virginia deal with security issues. And an Anglican bishop in Harrisonburg regularly returns to his homeland in Sudan to help his people during an ongoing civil war. This is the WMRA Daily for Tuesday, July 16th. One person was killed and six others were taken to the hospital after a crash that involved an Amish buggy Sunday in Cumberland County. The Farmville Herald reports that police say the crash involved a pickup truck that collided with a horse-drawn buggy, which was carrying seven people. Police said the truck's driver was not injured. The person who was killed was in the buggy. Police are investigating the cause. A local grocer was recently recognized as a finalist for a national award, WMRA's Randy B. Hagee reports.
John Henry General Store offers fresh produce and slabs of bacon, novelty socks, and staple goods out of a historic Newmarket building that's more than 200 years old. The founder, John Henry, was recently named one of three finalists for the Rural Grocer of the Year Award. It's given out by the Rural Grocery Initiative, a national organization that supports locally owned grocery stores outside of urban areas.
One thing that was kind of unique about our business model is that we didn't want to have to sell alcohol or tobacco products to be sustainable. So we wanted to be a very family-focused, positive health food store in a rural community.
Henry said his store's strategic partnerships also helped it to stand out. Those include the Fresh Match Incentives Program, which allows EBT customers to get fresh produce for half price, and the Virginia Clean Cities Grant that funded an electric vehicle charging station at the shop. And in other good news, Henry said the current heat wave should bring in a bounty of local heirloom tomatoes. For WMRA News, I'm Randy B. Hagee.
You'll find links to more information at WMRA.org and on the app. After an attempt was made on the life of former President Donald Trump Saturday, Virginia's elected officials and the police force that protects them jumped into action. Virginia Public Radio's Brad Cutner has more.
A Capitol Police spokesman said in a statement Monday morning that they couldn't discuss operational specifics following the attack on former President Trump, but added the agency was taking steps to ensure public officials were safe. Spokesman Joe Masinka said the chief of Capitol Police spoke with leadership across state law enforcement agencies as well as elected officials and discussed security ahead of Thursday's special session. Masinka said Capitol Police will be prepared in part thanks to, quote, many resources they won't hesitate to use. At an event in Richmond Monday morning, Henrico County Delegate Rodney Willett said he was confident they'd keep him and other lawmakers safe.
This is a super unfortunate circumstance, what happened to former President Trump, but I can tell you that the Capitol Police always have our back.
Governor Glenn Youngkin and leadership from both legislative chambers sent out messages of condolences for Trump and those who were killed or wounded over the weekend. In a joint statement from House Speaker Don Scott and Minority Leader Todd Gilbert, they said, quote, there's no place for violence in politics, and every American has the right to gather peacefully and participate in our political system. In a brief phone call Monday, Senate Majority Leader Scott Saravelle told Radio IQ he was grateful for the Secret Service's quick action Saturday, and he had confidence in the, quote, oldest police force in the Commonwealth. In Richmond, I'm Brad Cutner.
With just under 4 months to go before Election Day, how will the assassination attempt affect not only the presidential race, but campaigns further down the ballot? Sean McGoey with VPM News reports.
Alex Kina, associate professor of political science at VCU, thinks this moment could be an opportunity to lower the tension in the presidential campaign.
What you'd like to think is that this would cool down some of the rhetoric and inflammatory language that has become kind of normal over the last 8 years.
Kina thinks that the assassination attempt will prompt down-ballot Democrats to renew their calls for stricter gun safety laws, but that too many other things can happen between now and November for the shooting to change the outcome of any election. Professor Stephen Farnsworth of the University of Mary Washington says that any change in rhetoric will be brief.
I expect that the commitment to behave more responsibly won't last all that long.
Farnsworth says the current political climate has rewarded aggressive, combative discourse.
Sean McGoey reporting. Security at the polls is a priority for registrars across the Commonwealth as they prepare for election season. Also with VPM News, Adrian McGibbon reports.
Voting in Virginia begins September 20th and runs through Election Day, November 5th. The state's election officers are updating voter rolls and polling locations, managing staffing, and ensuring a safe voting experience. Registrar Terry Smithson has run elections in Hanover County since 2010. She says increasingly coarse political rhetoric has required her office implement more safety protocols.
We also teach our officers of elections a code word, and it's a safety word, so that all of our officers that know that, they hear it, and they know that something's going on.
Smithson said her office hadn't received any threats, but was aware of prior threats at other polling locations.
Adrian McGibbon reporting. An Anglican bishop in Harrisonburg regularly returns to his homeland in Sudan to help his people during an ongoing civil war. WMRA's Randy Behagi spoke with him and filed this report.
Bishop Andudu Adam Anil has several rules of thumb when traveling into the Nuba Mountains. Don't drive with your headlights on at night. Smear something dark over the body of a white car. Be on the lookout for bomber aircraft that can follow the dust trails kicked up on dirt roads.
If we travel, you never know what will happen.
Sudan was already in a humanitarian crisis before the current civil war broke out in April 2023. The Council on Foreign Relations reports that since then, 9 million people have been displaced, and many areas of the country are on the brink of famine. And the war has crippled the in-country operations of many aid organizations.
Many have died, and they're still going on dying, and many there are fleeing to Nuba Mountains. We had thousands of people immigrate to Nuba Mountains. So the situation of food is difficult. People are hungry, particularly those who are coming from other cities.
Anil is no stranger to conflict. He first came to America in 2011, seeking medical care for an illness. While here, Anil was warned by a chancellor in his diocese that he had been targeted by then-President Omar al-Bashir. Al-Bashir ruled Sudan for 30 years. He still faces charges of genocide, war crimes, and crimes against humanity in the International Criminal Court. Anil told me he was granted asylum to stay in the U.S., and 4 years later, his family joined him. He earned a master's degree in conflict transformation from Eastern Mennonite University. Mike Deaton, a member of the Church of the Incarnation, noticed the tall Sudanese family attending services and started talking to Anil about his life and his trips back home.
Even though he was targeted for assassination, he was going back.
Deaton and other American congregants were interested in helping Anil address the many challenges his people faced. They traveled to Sudan with him in 2020.
He made it very clear his first priority was education. The schools had been destroyed, particularly Grace Secondary School, destroyed by the government of Sudan. We visited the rubble. We saw machine gun shells everywhere. And Bishop Andudu said, I want to rebuild this school.
Anil showed them the ways that decades of unrest had shaped people's lives.
Because the first war, we lost a generation in education. That's why education is very important and is priority. So we dug the foxholes around the school. I showed Mike when anything happened, the children can run if you are able to hide in these foxholes. So it was difficult, but we determined the life has to go on.
There, in the classes, what they'll call a primary school will be like our elementary school. You may see a 45-year-old woman in class, and that's because she was part of that generation that never got to go to school.
Together, they started a nonprofit called Pax Day for Nuba. They rebuilt a secondary school and paid the teachers' salaries. They funded peacebuilding and mediation workshops that Anil led for warring tribes. Recently, Anil returned from a six-month trip where he saw how hungry the war had left people in the Nuba Mountains. Food shortages have been exacerbated by the many displaced seeking refuge there. The World Food Program reports that more than half the country's population is now facing crisis levels of hunger.
We have no capacity to feed the people who are coming. Yeah, and if people will come into your house, literally into your house, and then we have to give them also what we have to share with them. The crops, sesame and sorghum and chicken and goats.
Deaton said that without Anil's know-how, their organization would not be able to get aid to Sudan, as many others have been prevented from doing. They've sent more than $650,000 in humanitarian aid and funding for the local diocese in the past 4 years. About a third of that has been donated since the outbreak of the most recent civil war.
You fly into Juba, South Sudan, because if you had a Sudanese visa, then the government would know that he was coming and he would be targeted. We travel across the border from a refugee camp in a truck. He's known at all the checkpoints, and because he is from there, and he's well known. When he has resources to do things, he can get those things done.
Leaders of aid organizations have decried the lack of international attention on this humanitarian crisis. Anil shares their heartache.
We want this news to be spread for the people to know what's going on and also to be able to give a support or put pressure for the governments to bring peace. If some of these strong countries, if they can try to mediate between them or give them some directions, I think the peace will come. But if we're left alone, we will be killing each other for several decades and decades. And also, if there is humanitarian, they can be given to the people. That will be very helpful, and also the churches to pray for the situation in Sudan.
PAX Day for Nuba is holding a fundraiser with Sudanese food and live music on July 30th at A Bowl of Good in Harrisonburg. For WMRA News, I'm Randy B. Hagee.
Find links to more information and photos of the interviewees at WMRA.org and on the app. The inflationary pressure that spiked prices in Virginia is finally turning around, Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
The price of new cars is going down. So are the prices for blue jeans and microwave ovens. That's according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which shows even the prices of eggs and milk are dropping. But business professor Oleg Koronok at Virginia Commonwealth University says it's true some prices are coming down in some parts of Virginia, but he adds it's also important to look at the bigger picture.
Let's say the prices on eggs doubled and then they went down by 1%. So they're still expensive. They just a little bit down. So I would moderate the happy feeling that the prices are falling, and as a result, everyone will be very happy.
Well, they don't call economics the dismal science for nothing. Terry Repan is an economist at George Mason University who says the latest consumer price index is obviously good news for the economy, but he adds that the recent spike in inflation disproportionately harmed low-income people in Virginia.
Lower-income consumers are really feeling the brunt of the impact of the high prices, and they're the ones that are really pulling back on their consumption expenditures the most. And you see that in like dollar stores and thrift stores.
The latest numbers are an indication that the worst price spike in four decades is steadily fading, which may trigger the Federal Reserve to cut interest rates. I'm Michael Pope.
And finally today, historic Jamestown has received a national climate grant to help protect it from rising waters, WHRO's Catherine Hafner reports.
Centuries ago, English settlers chose the Jamestown site for its ideal riverfront location. Now that location has frequent flooding that threatens to wash away the historical record.
Our site is being threatened, really, both from the point of view of losing property to wetlands, but also the threat of priceless archaeological resources going underwater.
That's Jamestown Rediscovery President Jim Horn a couple years ago when they launched a campaign called Save Jamestown. That campaign just won the $300,000 climate grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities. Officials say they'll use the money to do site surveys and make a climate resiliency plan.
Catherine Hafner reporting for WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy your Tuesday.